Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. I'm half of your hosts, Dan, and Chris is also here with me. Hello, Chris.
How's it going?
It's going all right. How are you doing today?
Good, good. I'll be in the other half, you know, of the host team.
We trade off.
That's right.
It's not glasses half full, half empty. It's just two halves, you know.
Two halves. That's
right. Full glass, both halves of water or something. Well, today we've got a really interesting topic that I've been doing a ton of thinking about. We've covered the gamut on a lot of different things the last couple episodes. And, you know, talking about how to bring new customers in. So we're going to talk a little bit today about how to kind of retain them, how to keep them interested. So yeah, Chris, do you want to get us into a little bit more?
That's right. Yeah. You know, I was, we were onboarding a new bank client of ours just last week. I actually drove and met with their executive team and all of that kind of stuff. And a couple of things came up in the conversation about their internal systems and all that other kind of stuff. And I kind of called a timeout, you know, right in I'm in the room with about six C-suite folks and, you know, kind of said, for point of clarification, you know, as an agency, we're going to be doing all this marketing stuff. You know, we're doing a refresh on your website and all this social and social ads and, digital advertising and SEO and all these things that we're going to be doing for you. And the point of all of those is to put butts in the seats. And I said, in the conversations that you guys are having about your internal systems, that's great. And those are important and all that. But that's the hamburger you're cooking them. Our job is to put butts in the seats. And what kind of hamburger you cook for them is up to you. And they understood that. And Dan, but there's one more step, isn't there? There's one more important element to kind of that whole formula is drawing in customers, and then it's your operations and systems and offerings and services and all of that. And then there's another piece, and that's keeping them, simply said, right? And that kind of brought up the conversations you and I have been having, and a lot of what your agency's focus is now becoming. So I'm really excited about talking about this today, and I think it'll have some very significant value to all of our listeners. So I appreciate you bringing this to the forefront, Dan. So
thanks.
So with that, we're talking about sticky customers, creating sticky customers. Okay, so what does that mean? What do we mean by stickiness? That's not a highly technical bank industry term. So what is that?
No, and I've asked a lot of banks, and you know, some banks call it, you know, retention, but stickiness just sounds more exciting. So,
right.
But I think every bank probably talks about stickiness on some level. And, you know, over the last year or so, through my agency, we've gotten a lot more interested in this. Like, it's obviously bringing customers in is important. Most banks are trying to replace like an aging customer base. Mm-hmm. And it often takes more than one, you know, there's not a one for one replacement oftentimes, but you know, and that's one half of the coin. The other part is keeping the customers you have, keeping them happy. It's hard, probably harder than ever to get new customers in, but it's also, you know, there's so much noise in the fintech space these days. It's harder to keep them, or it's harder to, you know, the relationship with customers is not what it used to be. And, you know, if you're thinking about like primary financial institution or share of wallet, many more customers in the past were kind of all in, but today it's really easy to spread your deposits around, spread your loans and your financial relationships around. So when we talk about stickiness, it's really, you know, what is the kind of, how likely is it that your customer will leave, right? Mm-hmm. So it goes a little deeper than just attrition risk. And, you know, talk about like, hey, if your customers have multiple products with you, right? If they have a direct deposit, if, you know, those factors that indicate they're really, you know, using your products and services. So you can think of it, I think of it like a scale, right? It's kind of a stickiness scale, but in general, I, you know, define it banks use it different ways, but I kind of define it as like, what is that collection of actions or behaviors that you want customers to take that indicate to you, you know, they're in it for the long run.
And as we go today, Dan, one of the things that I'm really glad we're going to do too is, I know we're going to get into it in a little while and talk some of the specifics of those. You know, what are those measurement parameters and those tools, and what are the things that we're looking for, both on the, hey, this is going well, an increasing share of wallet, or, you know, all those other kind of things as far as a customer relationship versus the, red flag or red flags, plural, you know, things that we need to be looking for. But Dan, one of the things to set this up to is that here we are, we've come through pandemic years, we've been in a high interest rate environment, we have, you know, just a whole lot of change and things happening in the banking industry in general, big picture lately. But why do you think what we're talking about in this stickiness is becoming more important?
Yeah, I mean, I think even ignoring the pandemic and ignoring the economic environment of 2023, it's consumers today see, you know, thousands and thousands of ads, right? And this has been true for a long time, but it only gets worse, right? There's ads everywhere, and you know, everything is so fragmented that, you know, chances are there's a fintech out there that is trying to solve for a very specific, you know, sliver of the market. Mm-hmm. Right. So there, I like to use the example of Chime because it's one that everybody knows. Like, they started out as, you know, get access to your paycheck 2 days early. There's a very specific sliver of the market that where that's really valuable. And that's, they kind of broke into that. Well, like a lot of banks started offering the same service, and it's a lot more widespread than it was. And Chime has moved on, but they were, you know, fintechs when they started are generally focused on one little problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're focused on a problem, we've talked about this in previous episodes, not even about stickiness, but about other things. When you're focused on one little problem, it's much easier to break through the noise of 10,000 ads a day, you know, to the customers that really need it. And that only keeps getting worse. And, you know, like the mega banks can break through too. It's just the sheer volume, sheer amount of budget that they have. So I think there's a bit of like a grass is greener with a lot of customers today. Even if you've had a customer for a long time, it used to be, oh, well, if we've had the customer more than a year, like they're sticking around. And I don't know, I don't have the stats on it, but I don't know how true that is. It's so much easier to just move part of your, open an account somewhere else, move part of your deposits out, go after good, you know, good terms somewhere else. So I think it's just with the proliferation of fintechs and kind of that fragmentation of the market, it's a lot easier for customers to leave. It's a lot easier for customers to not have one institution.
Yeah.
Think there's a huge opportunity of deposits, you know, from your current customers' deposits that are currently at another institution, your current customers, you know, loans, relationships, wealth management, those types of things that are somewhere else that you could be bringing in house if, you know, if there's education, if there's, you know, a brand promise.
Yeah. And another big factor, Dan, that you and I have conversed about some, and I've seen being out in the field a lot with our community bank clients all over the place as well, too, is that lobby traffic is down. So, you know, in recent years, generally speaking, lobby traffic is down. So they're not getting that face-to-face opportunity, or maybe not used to it being a part of their, oh, once a week I go by the bank and, you know, I go in and do this. And, you know, when I'm in there, I see, oh, a brochure for their credit card or, you know, all of these. Right.
And the relationship degrades a bit. You know, if you haven't been in your bank in 6 or 8 months, maybe you've been there 10 years, but those other ads may start, you know, breaking in a little bit more.
That's correct. So that's a part of the reality of our situation too, that I think needs to make us pay more attention to this retention, because in how are other ways that we're going to connect more deeply with them rather than just, loosen the relationship and make it easier to leave. That's right. So, Dan, talking about those factors, then more specifically, who do we think, who inside of the financial institution should be responsible for this? Because I think, and you may agree on this, I think that's kind of evolving also.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's falls somewhere between retail and marketing, right? Like, you know, traditionally the marketing team, you know, maybe is thought of more as the advertising team where you're bringing in the new customers, you're doing the promotions or, you know, doing sponsorships out in the community, doing all the local stuff. And the retail team is, you know, greeting you when you come in, right? Sitting down and walking through your financial needs. But with that decline in branch traffic, with the move of, you know, the move of a lot of bank services to be automated or fully online, it's really both. It's both, I think, at every bank, but just depending on the way your bank is broken up, you may not have, if you're a smaller bank, you may not have, you know, fully separate teams. Mm-hmm. If you're kind of a medium-sized community bank, you probably need a lot of coordination between the two. You know, marketing may still be responsible for sending out emails, right? Sending out letters, the local stuff. Retail may be responsible for making, you know, phone calls, the one-on-one interactions. Mm. But I think for when we talk about stickiness specifically, there needs to be coordination between the two, right? Don't blast your entire email list if those people are also getting calls, if, you know, if you're not segmenting it to be more relevant to them. And, you know, both retail and marketing teams have a piece of that puzzle.
And even what you make a great point. What are they communicating about? So if retail is coming up with a new offer,
yeah,
or something like that, well, are they coordinating with marketing? And, you know, are the customers being over inundated or too many different directions? Or is that a well-coordinated effort, like you say, from email and more of the relationship communication part that may be coming from marketing and kind of the strategy for that and other touch methods coming from retail?
Yeah, I got an email from my bank, two different banks, but I got an email from one of them saying, you know, offering like a consultation for first-time home buyers. Well, like I've owned this house for 10 and a half years. Yeah. There's not segmentation going on there. If the retail team, you know, looked at my profile kind of manually, I'm sure they'd be able to tell, or mortgages through another bank, but like, I'm sure they'd be able to kind of get a sense of who I was, but there was just there was no coordination. And I think that, you know, that does more harm than good. So it's some points, cause it's, oh, they think I'm a first time home buyer. They don't know me. And, there's an opportunity there to, no, you know, to show the customer that you know them if you can coordinate in that. And that's one of these stickiness factors that we'll talk about.
Well, and so what we just mentioned in some of those strategies also is I think it's important to talk about what are some of the platforms. So let's maybe dive a little deeper, Dan, and kind of give our listeners some of those tangibles and some things that they're probably going to want to go to our show notes about, because what were those that Chris and Dan talked about? So what are some of those factors, you know, platforms that it is that we're talking about to increase stickiness?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of tech, right, that can help you. I think the more so than a specific piece of technology, I mean, you need a way to look at your data, right, and look at the stickiness factors in your data. You need a process to reach out to those customers, which is usually, you know, there's a retail side of the process and a marketing side of the process. On the retail side, it's, you know, calls, personalized letters, those types of things. On the marketing side, it's more, you know, more automated, like segmented emails that get at like, hey, we see this in your data. That means, you know, you're in the market for X, or we can help you this way. And you get an email about that. You know, I think about it in terms of the actual factors. So we talk about the factors and come back to kind of the data and the platforms. But if you talk to a few different banks, like there's some themes, but I think there's probably a couple hundred different factors, right? It's going to depend on your bank size. It's going to depend on the way your bank makes money, but it's things like debit card activations or usage, right? So if you've activated a bunch of debit cards and people aren't using it, it could be costing your bank money. It could indicate if they're not using their debit card that they're, you know, they've got something else. There's a share of wallet thing there. On the flip side, if they are using their debit card a lot, it's indicating that they're committed to it, right? They're using this extra product.
High number of auto draft transactions and debit card utilization, right?
Yeah, and you know, and if we look at the data for it too, if you know, maybe they have 100 swipes a month on average, and it drops to 10. Mm-hmm. Right? that could indicate they got another card, right? They got a credit card somewhere else. You know, you can look in the data and see, hey, their debit card dropped to 10 swipes a month, and now it looks like they've got a credit card payment going out of the bank. You know, so there's some data signals that you can see, but in general, like that usage can indicate stickiness or lack thereof. Or, you know, I'm interested in seeing that behavior change too. If something suddenly changes, there's, you know, an opportunity for the bank to step in.
And there are other trackable ones as well, aren't there?
Yeah. I mean, so you can extend that idea and talk about how often do they log into online banking? You know, do they ever use a physical location? I mean, a lot of people don't these days, but it can indicate some stickiness, even if it's not, you know, a couple times a week. Have they signed up for, you know, text alerts? Have they signed up for, you know, do they have a direct deposit or transfers in and out? You know, are they using bill pay? Are they using those extra features that you have? And similarly for all those, you know, if a direct deposit immediately stops or the amount changes, you know, drastically, then it can indicate something's going on.
Yeah, and another one that I've heard one of my clients actually talked recently about too, also is number of associated accounts.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got, you know, my wife, our college kids that we're transferring money to all the time, believe me, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, we're all tied in together, you know, all of that. I mean, what's the likelihood it's going to take a big tug for me to jump and move my account elsewhere, even just because of that as a factor? You know, I have all these. Yeah.
But even there, there's probably, you know, maybe you don't use the debit card, you know, and there's an opportunity for the bank to do it. Maybe you've got accounts elsewhere, your mortgage is at a different bank, and, you know, there could be some opportunities for the bank to help to make you stickier.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I think there's, we've been amassing a list over time. And I think, you know, there's a couple hundred factors out there, different ways to break them down, different angles to look at them. But, you know, you have to kind of see for your bank, what are the profitability drivers for you? What is the, you know, what is your exec team? What's your head of retail? What are they concerned with? You know, and I'll say, we'll talk about process too, but a lot of banks maybe they look at, you know, dormant debit cards, right? Maybe they look at them once a year or once every other year. And so let's call everybody's got a dormant debit card and see if we can get them to use it. But, you know, if you're looking at the data continuously, you're going to notice as soon as somebody's been dormant for 30 days or 2 weeks or whatever it is, you can notice that and work on them then before they get so embedded with another card. So I think, again, I mentioned the kind of the data, the platforms to look at. And I think there's an aspect here of not just looking at it, but setting up looking at those most important factors on a more continuous basis to catch them when you can have the most impact on stickiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Dan, I know you guys and your agency, that's a lot of what you've been working on is how do we watch that? How are we, you know, mindful, and what are the kind of things that we're watching for? And you've mentioned several of those, but a lot of what it takes is bringing data into the picture, doesn't it? Because you've alluded to that and mentioned that a couple of times, but you can't really know some of the things like transactional data that you're talking about, some of those, unless you're having ways to bring data into the picture and very easily do it, because you can't manually, even a small community bank can't manually be watchful of 8,000 customers at any given time and looking at their number of transactions per month or whatever the case may be, unless they have methods for looking at and utilizing that data, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could pull a report on dormant debit card customers, for example. You could pull all of your transactional data, and you could throw it into Power BI or Tableau or even Excel. Excel probably can't handle all of your transactional data, but like you can throw it into an easily available tool, and you can pull some of these numbers. It's just, it's really hard for, you know, a bank without a platform to like look at all these factors all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if you're getting started on this, it's, well, what's, like I said a minute ago, what's most important to your bank? Talk to the execs, talk to the head of retail and say, like, what are the three or four kind of metrics you're most concerned about increasing in the next quarter or the next year? And you can create a report. You can get truncated data, shorter versions of data that you can use in Excel. And you can look at it more, you know, set a scheduled query. You can look at it more frequently. But I think it's important to think about it that way rather than you're going to have much bigger impact on stickiness if you can catch the behavioral changes as they happen. You know, if you're just getting started, maybe there's some cleanup and you do want to do a dormant debit card, you know, kind of campaign for every dormant debit card. But after that, you can't ignore it for a year or two. You've got to, you know, create a process to always be looking at them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think anyone that's been listening to this conversation in this episode for long enough is going to be bought in that this is a problem, or potentially a problem, or at least just increasing stickiness, decreasing attrition can be beneficial for every company, for every bank.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah, and I think we've touched on some things too that's even beyond just attrition and stick, you know, part of when you increase stickiness factors, there's also a lot of cost savings there too. Mm. You know, if I know there's some cores out there that like charge for mobile app users, but if not all your users are actually using the mobile app, maybe you're being charged for it. Or, you know, the dormant debit cards, if you're paying, depending on how that you know, system structured, you might be paying for these customers that are not swiping. So it's a stickiness thing, but I think there's also a lot of cost saving opportunities in there as well. For looking at these things that will also benefit the bank. And that kind of mm-hmm. goes past, you know, what we normally talk about is in terms of marketing or in terms of stickiness, outreach, those types of things. But if it's all the same stuff. I mean, marketing's job is to, you know, bring more customers in, keep customers around. So if you can two birds with one stone and increase your stickiness and reduce costs, kind of everybody wins.
Absolutely. You know, and now you've got the ears of the CFO and yeah. others that are non-marketing folks as well. When you say, wait, you're telling me we're getting charged for 14,100 users, you know, for debit cards and we've only got 11,000, you know, that are actually yeah. users. So there's a gap there that we're paying for that, you know, shouldn't be the case. So Dan, that's a great point is how do you make more money? As an institution, well, sure, you want to grow revenue and reduce expenses. And then what does that equate to? Well, that's an expense line item that is highly affected by some of the factors that you're talking about. So what are some ways, Dan, that we can kind of get into solution for this? What are some of what are some ways to solve these pain points and problems that we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hinted at one a minute ago, but it's the first thing is just to have processes around these things, right? Don't get out of the realm of looking at them every couple of years or when they really become a problem. It's much easier to affect change on a lot of these stickiness metrics if we're continually looking at them. So we've kind of drilled into that, but I think that breaks down into a couple of things. It's one is running reports on the data so that you're notified when these things change, creating kind of two processes off that, right? How do we get in front of the customer with it? If they've gone dormant, how do we want to get at them, right? Maybe retail is making calls, but you can also have an automated campaign for, you know, email campaign for the marketing team to send out, or even, you know, direct mail, which is a lot more expensive, but might be worth it for some of these things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you start looking at it continuously, it starts to get complicated because you can't just throw everybody into an email drip campaign or make phone calls, because you're going to end up calling, you know, might end up calling the same person or getting the same person into four different mm-hmm. email campaigns because they have four stickiness metrics that popped up in your report. So you've got to, you know, the more metrics you look at and the more continuously you do it, the more you kind of need tech. You need something to help you kind of manage that, an email automation system that, you know, won't let you put the same person in multiple segments. Mm-hmm. You know, a CRM that your retail team uses that, you know, has the full notes on the customer. So you're not calling them three times in a week with three different things. You can call them and, you know, talk about all of it. You can, you know, put them in a different segment. If it's debit card and ACH stopped and something else, that might mean something bigger that you want to have a conversation with the customer about. So it's kind of a reporting and outreach system that handles all those things. But if you're doing this manually, you start with, like I said earlier, start with three or four factors that will make the most important, you know, make the most difference in your bottom line, and start just doing something with those factors, right? If it's that simple, you don't have to worry about, you know, all of those overlaps. Get good at that continuous monitoring, and it becomes easy to expand to additional factors over time. So that's kind of the, I'd say that's probably half, three quarters of it. The other part of it that a lot of banks don't do is surveys, you know, creating some kind of feedback loop with your customers.
Ask the questions.
Right.
Yep.
Where are those opportunities in your customer interactions where you can ask the question?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I think I started the episode talking about like how over-advertised all of us are, overexposed to thousands of ads a day. We're also overexposed to surveys. Everybody wants a survey these days. You can't really do anything or visit a website without some pop-up asking for a survey. So I'm not necessarily advocating that, because I think you've got to think about where you're going to get the best feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe somebody, I tend to think about it as the moments when somebody's smiling about your bank. They just closed on the loan, you know, they just opened another account, and do the more personal you can kind of make that outreach, the better. Call, ask the question, send a personalized email, not a automated email asking the questions.
Yeah. And sometimes too, though, it's revealing the pain points, because what also will happen is that some of those survey responses, Dan, we know are, can reveal a consistent issue or pain point, yeah, because there's going to be a portion of those folks that are only going to take the effort, energy, and time to respond to that if they're pissed off.
Right.
And if they are, and it's one guy or one person that's, you know, then does that, okay, you know, fine. But if you get a series of people that are responding and revealing the same pain point, you better pay attention to it, right?
Right. Well, even the one guy, you know, emailing about a pain point, it's worth looking into. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's people that get overly mad because they've got other things going on, and they take it out on you, but it's easy to kind of filter those. But I mean, so yeah, I think it's asking the question at the right time, but when you get the answers, do something with it, right? It's not just a, you know, think about a feedback loop rather than just asking for feedback, right? As that information comes in, you know, where does it go? Does it just sit within marketing? No, it probably shouldn't. Probably should get aggregated up and, you know, brought to the exec team. Make sure it's part of strategic planning. You know, if you're getting those themes of, you know, pain point that becomes a theme, make sure that there's a feedback loop to fix the pain point. You know, because like the pain point might be in your core or in your mobile app that you don't own, and you've got to get it back out to your vendor and get some, you know, development done. Or it might be a pain point of you're not looking at these things in your data. So you need to get that feedback to, you know, an analytics person that can help you be looking, you know, looking for those things in the future.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You know, and I think the other piece of this also is by putting the processes in place that you're talking about, and then the tail end of that, and I've heard you talk about this as well, Dan, is taking the feedback to heart, and being willing to look at your own wrongs and shortcomings as an institution, and I've heard things like, you know, I've heard bank clients say, well, we had a low debit card activation rate and just couldn't figure out what it was. Well, they hadn't gone through, and number one, they hadn't listened. And they hadn't listened well. And the bottom line of what the problem was is that their vendor had made it an extremely difficult process. When you called in, you know, to activate your debit card, it was a confusing menu. Except, you know, and some people could get through that, but some people maybe that don't do those kind of things or they get flustered easily were just dropping the ball and all that. And so that's the kind of thing. Again, you got to take some of this information to heart, and these feedback loops that you're talking about, is processing that information and listening to your folks.
Yeah. I mean, it can take, you know, I wish I had the stats with me, but like you could Google this probably. Adding one click to like a checkout funnel, mm-hmm. you know, for like an e-commerce store, adding one click can make a massive difference in the amount of sales. Like it's amazing where people drop out. So that's a store where somebody's buying a t-shirt. Like convert that over to a complicated financial thing of opening a debit card, applying for a loan, those things can make a big difference. So even those tiny bits of feedback, you know, I think I'm always surprised by like companies that send out these surveys and then don't look at those details. They're looking for people mm-hmm. that are angry or like, hey, we need to improve our customer service. We need, you know, real people to answer the phone when we call, which is a big one for banks and super important to do. But then you ignore that, hey, this debit card opening process is really, really frustrating.
Yeah.
And it's might be frustrating because you have like one or two extra clicks in there that don't need to be there.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I think that's great stuff. And Dan, what I wanted to segue into here was what you guys and your agents have been doing here that goes far deeper and broader into this sticky customer topic and situation, and kind of maybe some additional information that you've got to offer there. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, so we just put together a playbook called the Stickier Customer Playbook that's got a lot of this stuff, most of this stuff in it, including an appendix that's got kind of all the stickiness factors we can think of. Living document, we'll be adding to it over time. But we talk through, kind of how to pull the data, what to look for, you know, what this process looks like, how to develop that feedback loop. So kind of like we did with the brand voice thing a few episodes ago, love to send that out to anybody that's, you know, kind of struggling with this stuff. Email us at contact@bankmarketingshow.com. I'd be happy to send it over to you, and we'll put that in the show notes also.
Well, it was fun for you and I, Dan, to get the kind of response that we did for the brand voice part. And that offering that we had to send out to everybody that can help so much with all those identification stuff. And man, we heard from people all over the country. That was really cool. So I'm glad that you're offering this now, because it's a really solid white paper piece that kind of puts all of this discussion and topic in one piece and gives some really good detailed information that expounds on a lot of what we've talked about today that people can really draw a lot of value from. So I would encourage the same thing, Dan, for any of our listeners to go to our website, connect with us that way, or email us at contact@bankmarketingshow.com so that you could send them that playbook. It'd be great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy to share it. I think it's, I'm biased obviously, but I think it's pretty useful. So if you found this conversation valuable, there's lots more detail in there. So
yeah, very good. Well, I think that can be a useful piece too for gaining that additional knowledge, and for our listeners to be able to turn around and talk to, you know, the rest of their executive team or their folks in the bank saying, look, these are things that really can move the needle or keep the negative needle from moving, you know, as it may be. So really valuable stuff. So thanks for that, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, man, super valuable stuff. Thanks for taking the time to visit about this. It's not actually a topic that, as marketers, we dive very deep into, and it's really key and important. So appreciate you doing this today, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks for peppering me with questions. This is fun.
You got it. You got it. All right. Well, and folks, we'll have a lot of this in our show notes as well for this episode. So you can check out more of that and make the connection with us for the free white paper. So we appreciate everybody. Have a great one. We will be back soon.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, and join us next time.